Imagine a newly married couple in Italy for their honeymoon. Now, what's a romantic thing to do in Italy? That's right. One romantic thing is a ride in one of those long boats on the river, a romantic gondola ride. Now, imagine the newly married husband hops into a gondola and sails away, shouting back to his puzzled wife, "I'm going before you." The next one's for you. Something is massively wrong with this story, right? How might you feel if you were that bride? Well, any range of things, but not good, right? But why? What's the problem? Her husband is just ahead in the next gondola. Well, there's a big difference, isn't there? Presence matters. The new bride wants to be with her husband in the same boat, and he should want to be there with her too. Even more so, the presence of God matters. Indeed, some biblical scholars identify the presence of God as the central theme of the story of Scripture. I write a great deal about this in my recent book that is titled, for this reason, God with Us. Do you think God wants to be with you? He does indeed. But do you want to be with God? You might have heard the story of the Exodus, the story of God rescuing his people, Israel, from slavery in Egypt. Through many miracles, God delivered them and led them toward a wonderful land he had promised them, the Promised Land, a land of plenty, flowing with milk and honey. To get there, however, the people needed to pass through the wilderness and face many dangers. There were surrounding nations who wanted to destroy them. There were poisonous serpents in the wilderness, and there was scarce water and so little food that God miraculously brought them bread from heaven, called manna, to sustain them. But God was with them, and that made all the difference. He led them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they were to follow wherever he led. If they did, keeping his commands, which were only for their good, they would be okay. Without God's special presence among them, however, they would be utterly hopeless. They would either starve, be killed by wild animals, or wiped out by numerous surrounding nations hostile to them. But as long as God was with them, they had nothing to fear. God had made a covenant with them. But what is a covenant? A covenant is a kind of agreement between two or more parties. And the biblical covenants God made with his people are a bit like marriage agreements, which still today are sometimes called marriage covenants. Akin to marriage, the covenants God made with his people in Scripture are not simply legal agreements filled with do's and don'ts, but are built on God's love for his people. And everything flows from that. God promises his people certain blessings and privileges he will provide in this relationship. But the people have a choice as well. They can reject covenant relationship with God, even as a husband or wife can decide to leave and divorce their spouse. Doing so, however, will forfeit, at least temporarily, some of the blessings of that relationship. To use a different metaphor that also often appears in Scripture to describe the love relationship between God and his people, imagine a child who rejects his parents and thereby forfeits all the privileges that come with living in their household. When it comes to God and his people, it is not God that abandons the people or throws them out of his house, as it were. Rather, they are more like a runaway child whose loving parent is desperately seeking them. Unless they come home, however, the runaway cannot enjoy the privileges and benefits of living in their parents' household. A bit like that, since God's covenant relationships are always grounded in his love for his people, centered on God's promises to bless them, as long as they remained in covenant relationship with him, they would enjoy sustenance and protection and more. Tragically, shortly after God had miraculously delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt, the people broke that covenant relationship with him, like a wife cheating on her husband. What happened? Well, Moses was atop a mountain, Mount Sinai, where God was giving him the Ten Commandments and other instructions for the people. He'd been gone for some time, and the people became restless, and they demanded of Moses' brother Aaron, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron gathered their gold, and he molded it into a golden calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." This was an act of horrible rebellion, idolatry. That idol did not bring them out of Egypt or do anything for them. But they worshiped that idol, dancing around it and doing all kinds of horrible things associated with pagan worship that I will not mention here. When Moses came down from the mountain and saw their evil acts, he was furious, and he threw down the stone tablets that contained the Ten Commandments, shattering them. And like those shards of stone, the covenant between God and the people of Israel seemed to be irreparably shattered. But God made a way. He gave the people a choice, and with those who chose to serve the true God, he renewed his covenant. If it were not for God's character of love, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, everything would have been lost. But God's mercy is overflowing, not only for them, but for us too. Afterward, however, there was some question about whether God would still be with the people in their midst in the way he had intended before. So Moses pleaded with God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Moses knew that everything hinged on God's presence. And God responded he would indeed go with the people, not just before them or behind them, like the wife and husband in different gondolas, but with them in their very midst. God's presence matters more than most people imagine. And here, there is good news. God wants to be with you in a special way too. And he can be present with you wherever you go. As Psalm 139 verses 7 through 10 teaches, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol," which means the grave, "behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me." God promises his people elsewhere, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And Jesus himself promised his followers, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Wherever you go, remember that God is with you, and he will be with you in a special way if you place your trust in him. If you have not done so already, then place your faith and your trust in him today.